The good news is that God has come to our rescue because we couldn't rescue ourselves. He did that when he gave his son to die for us, who paid the complete penalty for our sins. And in receiving his son, Christ, God calls us to himself and secures our relationship with him. He declares us righteous.
Perhaps there's no better feeling than relief. When you're working hard to finish an all-consuming project, nothing satisfies like checking it off your to-do list. Or the relief that comes when you're finally done paying for the house and you can ignite a flame to burn the mortgage. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll describes relief on the grandest scale. We're looking at Paul's letter to the Galatians to discover what it truly means to be forgiven from the debt of our sin. Chuck titled today's message, Giving Thanks for God's Grace.
Speak, Lord, in the stillness as we wait on thee. Teach our hearts to listen in expectancy. You have told us in your word to be still, to stop everything else, and to discover that you are God. A lot of voices in our day, a lot of opinions, a lot of newscasts, a lot of reporting, lots of activity, a lot of noise. In the midst of it, it is easy to miss what you're wanting to say to us. We have so many needs, we could never recount them. We have so many things to thank you for that we find they are innumerable. Among them, the psalmist reminds us, you forgive all our transgressions. You heal our diseases. As far as east is from west, you have removed those things from us. How good of you to do that. Anyone who would do that for us causes us to feel comfortable in your presence. Thank you for the pleasure of your company today. And thank you also, our Father, that when we leave this house of worship, you are right there with us. Thank you also, Father, that you are timeless. You are eternal. Even when a man or woman of God dies, nothing of God dies. Furthermore, even when things turn, and sometimes we feel that we can't see our way through, even there your hand leads us. You are intimately acquainted with all our ways. In the shifting sands of human philosophies and everyday wisdom, opinions, you are the rock of ages. As the psalmist has said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of an horrible pit and put my feet on a rock and established my going. And has put a song in my mouth, even praise to my God. On this day, our Father, we thank you for the solidarity of your presence, the perpetual care you demonstrate, the protection from danger, from harm. And we certainly ask for that on behalf of our warriors who this very day or in a lonely place. We ask for you to watch over them, bring encouragement to them. Though far from home, may they be reminded that they are not far from you. We pray for their families. We pray for those who have become disabled because of their heroic work in the battlefield, and for all who suffer disabilities, do we pray. Bring to our attention, our Father, the marvelous grace of our God. And may we in the process realize that it is really nothing in our hands that we bring, but simply to your cross we cling. Speak to us about grace in a way that you have rarely done before. May it go with us. And our Father, I pray that we will not only stand on the rock, but we will hide ourselves in the rock. We trust you, Father, for what the week holds. And we ask as you go before us that our walk with you will be faithful and authentic. And now, Lord, we bring our gifts to you, not because you have a need, but because we have a need to learn to be generous. May that characterize our lives. May we be generous in compassion, generous in understanding, generous in forgiveness, and generous with our money. In the name of our rock-like Savior, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the Bible with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now, the message from Chuck titled, Giving Thanks for God's Grace.
Look at the second letter Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We're going to go to our apostle of grace for the counsel here. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, sort of sums it up. Just before Galatians is 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Look closely. For you know the grace, there's our word. You know the unmerited favor of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, there we are with those righteous riches, who though he was infinitely rich, yet for your sake he became poor. That's the incarnation. That's Bethlehem. That's the womb of Mary. Infinitely filled with riches, he emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even a cross kind of death. That's what he means by he became poor. That's grace. Now, why did he do it? Look, so that you, through his poverty, might be rich. God's that righteous, and we are that unrighteous. Christ comes to our rescue, and we become as righteous as his Son. Turn from this to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verse 5. I love this. He saved us. The word means to rescue. He rescued us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us, there's our word, richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that being justified by works, No, look again. So that being declared righteous by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There it is. Now then, you have patiently waited for us to get to Galatians. Let me tell you why I have you turn to Galatians. This church was founded by the Apostle Paul, the apostle of grace. He brought the good news of the grace of God to them. He explained to them that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his grace he rescues us. And the people believed it. The Galatian people believed that. Until a group of legalists moved in. So Paul says to them in verse 6, I am amazed. He sits down to write them, having heard what they had fallen into. They had begun to drift into the reasoning of the legalists. They began to tolerate the thought, maybe we do need to. After all, those people have been around longer than we have. Maybe we need to pay attention. And Paul says, I am amazed at you folks. Verse 6, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him. Look at the word desert. Metatithemi is the word, and it means to transfer one's allegiance. It's used of soldiers who desert or revolt. They once fought on our side, and the battle got hot enough to where they slipped away from our lines and they got behind enemy lines and they changed uniforms. We call them turncoats. We call them traitors. You people have become traitors. Soldiers who desert or revolt, the word also is used of people who change sides politically and philosophically. Don't answer out loud. Have you ever voted for somebody who promised you this but delivered that? They're turncoats. They won your vote by telling you what you wanted to hear, only to find when they got into office, they really weren't there. They were here. They deserted. They changed allegiance. That's the word. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting. Notice whom we desert, not the gospel, Christ. You're deserting him. That pronoun is powerful. Him, Christ, the one who has placed you into himself, and here you are in Christ, starting to believe that there's stuff you can add that will somehow gain the approbation and favor of God. Look at what he calls it. You're deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ, there's our word again, for a different gospel. Heteros is the term, H-E-T-E-R-O-S. We get our word heterodoxy from it, heterosexual from it. It's the opposite. You have not turned to a similar gospel. You have turned 180 degrees from the original message of the gospel. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Hold your place and look at chapter 3, verse 1. He uses another word. 3:1, you foolish Galatians. If I remember correctly, Eugene Peterson begins this chapter in the Message. You stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you? What's going on? Who's caused you to switch allegiance? Since when were you able, as a lost sinner, able to somehow cause God to go, oh, wow, look at that. That is great. Man, am I impressed. Wow, look at that. $200 that Sunday. Whoa. How good is that? No, it's nonsense. Nothing in our hands can we bring. We're lost. We need rescuing. Back in chapter 1, he says that they have disturbed you and distorted the gospel. In fact, he goes further. You're not going to like it, but he says it twice. Verse 8, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we originally preached to you, he is to be accursed. Accursed. He brings down the desire that God bring a curse on such false teachers. And in case you missed it, verse 9 shows that Paul's a good preacher. He repeats himself. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he's to be accursed. Paul doesn't say we should tolerate it. He doesn't say, you know, really, he means well. He's sincere. Let me give you the true gospel. The good news is that God has come to our rescue because we couldn't rescue ourselves. In doing so, he demonstrates undeserved favor toward us in giving us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve that favor. He did that when he gave his son to die for us, who paid the complete penalty for our sins. And in receiving his son, Christ, God calls us to himself, makes us a member of his family, puts us into Christ, and secures our relationship with him. He declares us righteous. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, all these things are from him. They're none from us. Cynthia and I were watching 2020 the other evening on television. There were several vignettes of interest to the viewer. One of them was a group of several younger women and a man who separately decided they would like to sail around the world. Okay? Two of them are 16, and I think a couple of them are in their 20s, okay? They did not pay the Coast Guard $20,000 to start with in case they need to be rescued. They just took off. Mom and dad, instead of going, you know what? We need to think about this. They go, that's a great idea. Y'all have fun. Boom. So they took off. One in this direction, one from this country, and one from that. Guess what? The fun and games stopped in the voyage. In fact, one of them, in a treacherous situation, rogue waves, in fact, one wave 60 feet high. Last time I checked, that's six stories. Swept over this craft and turned it, broke the mast, and somehow the boat was able to right itself, and this 16-year-old is now at the mercy of the weather and the sea. There is nothing she can do to rescue herself. And wouldn't you know it? Choon, 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 choon. Can you hear the helicopter? And they rescue her. She didn't deserve that. Now, before you think I'm heartless, I'm grateful they were there. But I can say the same about you and me when it comes to salvation. We don't deserve it. I certainly didn't deserve God's favor. When as a boy, I trusted in Jesus. I didn't even realize I was declared righteous. Nor do many people when they trust in Jesus. But the grace of God provides not only rescue, but the warm blanket of righteousness and the safety of home to which we'll be taken. Not because we are earning it, but because he in his grace has declared it to be so. When will we ever get that clear? To turn from the grace, the gospel of grace, is to turn from the God of grace. Now, Paul's word is anathema. If anyone tells you other than that, May he be accursed. May he be accursed. I didn't say that. I'm reading what is right here, the last word of verse 8 and the last word of verse 9. Look at it for yourself. That's how strongly Paul stood for the grace of Christ. Now, some of you may think, was this kind of a sudden burst of intemperance? Paul just angry? Is this inconsistent with the gentle spirit of Christ? Is this an utterance from a man who is ultra narrow-minded? No. It's from a man who wants to free you. And he's telling us the truth. There were some in Paul's day who said, you're just a man pleaser. You're telling the Gentiles this so they can get in free, just like the rest of us have had to work to get in. Paul says in verse 10, am I still trying to please men? Why, if I were trying to please men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. You know how you please people? Tell them what they want to hear. You know what that means? You could help yourself be saved. Oh, how good is that? So I'm going to work hard and help myself be righteous. You know the problem with that? It's a lie. Other than that, not a problem. It's a lie. I like the way Donald Barnhouse, the late great preacher from Philadelphia, once put it. He was analyzing the words of an old hymn, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but what? He washed it white as snow. Barnhouse said, great words. The lyrics are not, Jesus paid 90%. 10% I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, he washed it light pink. There's just something wrong with that. Bad poetry, but worse theology. He didn't wash it light pink. You didn't add 10%. Otherwise, it's a plan that's not fair. There are some who are so disabled and unable in themselves to do anything, they couldn't even do 10%. And others of us are so healthy, we could do 40%. That's not fair. It's got to be on the basis of a gift or it's a wage. Which reminds me, you work someplace, you earn a wage. Now, when you get your check for your work, you don't go, oh, thank you for this gift. It isn't a gift. You earned it. You deserve it. In fact, for them not to give it to you is unfair. You've earned it. But if you've not really done a great job and you kind of been sloughing off and Christmas comes and you get a $500 bonus, oh, that's grace. Thank you. I don't deserve it. No, you don't. You've been a poor worker. But I want you to understand how much I love you. Because that which drives grace is love. He loves us. Why? What's to love? You know, there isn't really a good human answer except the love that's in his heart for us. What makes a mother love a screaming child who has perpetual colic and throws up everything she feeds him, day and night? You know what it is? We call it a mother's love. Our Father loves us with the mother love of a Father God. And he never is out of love toward us. That's grace. I love it. And it's so illogical, it makes people smile.
There's no end to discovering the depth and riches of God's grace. You're listening to Insight for Living, featuring a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Giving Thanks for God's Grace. For resources to help you dig deeper into this two-part mini-series, we invite you to go directly to insightworld.org. This includes Chuck's Searching the Scriptures study notes and the audio messages as well. Look for Chuck's teaching series called Guilt, Grace, and Gratitude. Please know that all of us here at Insight for Living Ministries are grateful for you. After all, it's for you these daily programs are created. As God prompts you to support this nonprofit ministry, we assure you your generosity will go directly toward reaching others with hope and grace. As a financial partner with Insight for Living, God is making good use of your gifts. I'm reminded of a recent note I saw from a grateful pastor. Kyle said this, "Chuck, I've been in church ministry for over 20 years. During my season of preaching, your friendly voice and mentorship helped me hang in there when I wanted to hang it up and do something else. Thank you for being a stalwart influence in my life without even knowing my name." Well, Kyle, we know your name. And more importantly, God knows your name and He sees you. And now let me send a big word of thanks to all those who make these moments possible. When you support Insight for Living, your gift is encouraging pastors and church leaders who want to shepherd their flock and never give up. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Or you can give online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Chuck Swindoll's mini-series on guilt, grace, and gratitude continues next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Giving Thanks for God's Grace, was copyrighted in 2011, 2012, and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.